All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to Thessalonians, please. Thessalonians chapter number 3. This is our kind of a springboard for these Sunday night messages. And it's been a while back. The Lord showed me this, and I went and checked it out, and it turned out to be so. But in verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Bible said, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." If you go and look at the epistles of Paul, he signs out every one of them, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And we're preaching a series of messages entitled "The Importance of the Grace of God," and looking at the last chapter in the epistles that Paul left us in the Word of God. And tonight we're going to be in the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. Last week we were in the last chapter of the book of Galatians, and we're just going to continue on Sunday night until we get through all of the epistles of Paul. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the good singing. And I pray, Father, tonight now that you'll just help us as we look into the Word of God to glean. Help us, our Lord, to grow. And help us, our Father, that we might go out of here this week and just shine for the glory of God. Let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Help us, we do pray now. Bless our preachers that are out preaching tonight. I pray, dear Father, you'll bless in each one of those meetings. And God, I pray that tonight you'd strengthen us here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to look at the importance of the grace of God. We read over in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 23 and 24, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. So there's that signature of Paul again in the grace of God. I want to look at several things tonight. There's five things that I want to divide the chapter, five ways I want to divide the chapter. The first thing I want to look at is the importance of the grace of God in the home. The Word of God starts in verse number 1 of chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Amen. If ever there's been a time that we need the grace of God in our homes in America, it's the day and hour in which we live. I can't remember the man's name, but the lieutenant governor in North Carolina is a black man, and he's telling it like it is. I'm telling you, he's telling it that the problem is children without fathers. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that God intended for a man and a woman to have children and to raise those children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we need the grace of God. We need the grace of God in our homes. As I was reading that, the Lord reminded me, it's been several years ago now, that mother went across the street corner and more or less grabbed her boy by the ear and led him back across the street. Amen. And that's what we need. Amen. We need some mothers and some dads with a backbone, amen, and that will help the youngins understand the difference between right and wrong and the penalty for wrong. But not only do we need the grace of God as we deal with our children and children deal with their parents, but we need the grace of God in our marriages. If you look just up the page there, if you have a Scofield Bible, in chapter number 5 of the book of Ephesians, we need the grace of God in our home. The Bible said, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Let me say this to you. Anybody that would be honest would say that does not come naturally. Nobody wants to submit to anybody naturally. Say amen. Everybody wants to stand up and be the big I. But beloved, when the Spirit of God enters into that equation, then we have no problem trying to enter into the role as God would have us in the Word of God. And it's just like the husband, he's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. If you understand this text, God is painting a picture of the church, the relationship between the church and the Lord Jesus, and he wants us to see that picture in the home. And a lot of times, beloved, the home is anything but a picture of the grace of God. Amen? And it ought to be submitting yourselves one to another. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. I'll say this, beloved, listen to me. I don't say it boastfully, but I've never had to stand up in my home and say I'm the head of this house. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You say, Pastor, what are you trying to get across to us? By the grace of God, a man can love his wife like Christ loved the church, and he don't have to stand up and stick his chest out and say, bless God, I'm the head of this house. Amen. A pastor don't have to stand up and say, bless God, I'm the pastor of this church. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that husband is just like the good Christian. He's a servant in that home. Amen. He has a role in that home. The wife has a role in that home. And the children have a role in that home. And by the grace of God, each one can take their role and fulfill their role in the home, that home might bring honor and glory to the Lord that loved us and gave himself for us. I believe, listen, years ago, I believe it was Paul Harvey. He come out with there's a word I'm wanting. It's like a little speech that he put together, If I Were the Devil. And beloved, listen, one of the things that he talked about, if I were the devil, I'd try to get in the home. I'd try to break up the marriages. Amen. And there was a time, listen to me, I'm not fussing tonight. Listen, God is a forgiving God, and he's a merciful God. And it's the grace of God that my marriage has stood it. Amen. Through these years, I'm telling you the truth about that. Amen. When Miss Eve and I got married, I had no idea what the future held for me, and I really didn't care about much of anything. But God held us together. Amen. But there was a time in the church when divorce was frowned on. That's what I was going to say. And now, beloved, the divorce rate's no different in the church than it is in the world. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. And you say, well, preacher, you going to put people down? No, I'm going to tell you, it's the grace of God. It's not your marriage. And it's the grace of God. It's not my marriage. It's the grace of God, beloved. Listen, but we ought to strive for that. Amen. To just do and be what God would have us to be. That our home, listen, it wouldn't have it in words, but it would have it in spirit, that people would look at that home and say, there's a home that's clothed in the grace of God. Amen. There's a home that's a reflection of the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a home that brings honor and glory to God. Turn to 1 Peter quickly tonight. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here, but we need the grace of God, the importance. We need to understand the importance of the grace of God in the home. I believe, listen, the home is under attack. Amen? They're trying to substitute. Listen to me. God never intended for two men to marry one another and then adopt some children and raise them. That's not of God. Say amen. I'm telling you, or two women, you understand what I'm talking about. God wanted a man and a woman to come together in love, amen, and have children, and get married, and then have children, and raise them for the in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, for the honor of God Almighty. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, just a moment. We're talking about the grace of God and the importance of it in the home. And likewise, he said, you wives, in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Then he said, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be with the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. You all are well aware that there are people who have taken these verses and taken them to the extreme. You understand what I'm talking about, that you don't wear jewelry, and you don't. They're just all kinds of extremes. But listen, I'll tell you how I see this. Listen, what makes a woman beautiful is on the inside. It ain't on the outside. Amen to God. Listen, I thank God for a woman's beauty on the outside. But if you find a woman that's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord, honey, her hands may not look like much. They may be wore out. Her face may not look like much. It may be wore out. But I'll tell you, it's that hard. It's that, how many had a mother like that? Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, or a grandmother that worked their fingers to the bones. They didn't have an automatic washer. Amen. This tickled to death when they just got one where you could run it through a wringer. Amen. And now you just set the button, put some stuff in it, and go. You say, preacher, you don't know much about that. Thank God I don't have to. Amen. I got a beautiful woman, a beautiful wife that takes care of our laundry. Amen. And I appreciate that from the depths of my heart. And then the Bible said here, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. I tell you, men, we need to honor our wives. I'd hate to think where I'd be without my precious wife. Amen. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of God. And you say, Pastor, what happens if you don't go by this scripture? Then your prayers are hindered. We need the grace of God in our home, that our prayers be not hindered, that our light can shine, and that people can see, beloved, the grace of God in our home. Secondly, in the message tonight, we see the importance of the grace of God in our home, but we see the importance of the grace of God on the job. Listen to me tonight. Listen, one of the things that's went haywire in our world is the job. So would somebody say amen? There's a whole lot of jobs that ain't nothing more than a great old big patent place. It's just a cesspool of sin. Say amen. A lying and a cheating and a stabbing one another. I told somebody one time, be careful, because that one that's patting you the hardest on the back may end up with the knife. Say amen. And on the job, it's climb that ladder. Don't care who you step on, just as long as I'm going up. But I tell you, that hadn't ought to be that way for the child of God. We need the grace of God on the job. Look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. You say, listen to me tonight. I got this in my heart years ago. You know, if you get a 30-minute lunch break, there are people, I'm talking about Christian people, that would never walk up and steal $10 from the boss. They would never steal a tool from the job. They wouldn't steal something like that. But, beloved, they don't care one bit to take 55 minutes for lunch instead of 30. Is anybody listening to me tonight? You say, Pastor, what are you trying? I'm saying, if you call yourself a Christian and you're supposed to get 30 minutes for lunch, then you ought to take 30 minutes for lunch. Not 55 minutes, not 45 minutes, not 40 minutes. Am I right or am I wrong? You say, Pastor, why would you talk about the grace of God on the job? Because sinner folks are watching. And they're paying attention, amen. They're paying attention to whether you tell the dirty jokes or listen to the dirty jokes. We need the grace of God, not only in our home, but it ought to go right on down there where we work. That we ought to have the grace of God evident in our lives. He said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, beloved, listen to me. It'll help you on the job if you say, Lord, I thank you that I'm able to work. I thank you that I have a job. Amen. I was talking to my daughter last week. She recently changed jobs about a month ago or so. And some of the ladies, or maybe not only ladies, but some of the people that are working, would you call it rehab, Miss Eve? It's occupational therapy, physical therapy. And some of them are just griping and complaining. And you know what my daughter told them? Said, you need to go somewhere else and work a little while. This is all you know. You've got it good here. You just don't know it. How many say amen? I'm telling you, beloved, there's lots of times we've got it good and we just don't know it. Amen. We don't understand the grace of God. He said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. We ought to want to do a good job for our earthly boss, because we know our heavenly boss is watching. Amen. And we need the grace of God to do that. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You tell me how many Christian people are going on the job and understand and realize that they're not working for the boss. They're working for the boss. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And I believe with all my heart it would help. And I believe our countries went haywire. We've got people today, listen, that don't care whether they do anything when they get there or not. They're there to get a paycheck. They're there to put in some time, say amen, and get a paycheck at the end of the week or the end of 2 weeks. And that's all they're there for. Amen. And it's hurting us. It's hurting us bad as a country. You say, Pastor, are you fussing? No, I'm just telling you, if the job is right, it'll be because the grace of God is evident on that job. I left the job years ago. I got saved when I was 27, and I started with a man in a fence row with chainsaws, and we built a machine shop. I'm talking about from the ground up. Brother John, that's where I learned something about concrete. We were sitting in the truck and eating our donuts and drinking our coffee. I didn't know that concrete would set up underwater. It was a raining, and the concrete was wet. You understand? I said, we stay here all day. Amen. We'll finish it. And I found out when we got that trowel out, we was in trouble. Amen. Now, if I'd have known that, I'd have been out there in the rain trying to get that concrete to the top. Amen. But anyway, this man, when I went with him and helped him, I told him, I said, listen, I said, Wayne, God's called me to preach. And I don't know how long, I don't know when, I don't know where, but God will open a door at some time for me to pastor a church. And I said, when he does, you need to understand I'm gone. And listen, he had heard me preach on the radio, and I wasn't much to listen to. Amen. I'm just being honest. And I believe he thought, oh, yeah, that'd be okay. That'd probably be 20 years down the road. It wasn't but just a few months. We got the whole building built. We got it wired. We got the machines in there. And I had on a white shirt and a tie just like this going out, drumming up work, amen, visiting people and getting work when the Lord opened that door. And I told him, I said, Wayne, I said, I've got to go. He said, Rick, I understand. I hate to lose you. He said, but let me tell you something. He said, as long as I'm living, if you need a job, you got one right here. You say, Pastor, are you boasting? Yep, on the grace of God. I went in there to work. I didn't go in there to beat in time. Say amen. I went in there to help him. I didn't go in there to hinder him. I went in there, beloved, listen, because it was feeding my family. Are you listening? I was grateful. I didn't go in with the gripes every morning. I went in looking for something to do. Amen. That we might do a better job on down the road. Then he said here, not only is it the employee that God's speaking to, but it's the employer. Look in verse number 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. You see that right there? I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, you give some people in this world a little bit of authority, and it ruins them. I'm talking about even in the ministry. I know this will go out on tape, But I worked with some men in the Rock of Ages prison ministry, beloved, that were servants of the Most High God, easy to get along with. They just wanted to get the job done for God, get somebody to the foot of the cross and help them to get saved. And I work for others. Oh, I'm the leader. You understand what I mean? They wanted to put their thumb on you. Amen. They wanted you to know they're the boss. You know what they forgot? He's the boss. Say amen. And the best servants down here, beloved, are the servants of the Most High God. Amen. And in doing so, we serve one another. He said, masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Beloved, listen. I've said this, and I mean it. The Supreme Court, they might think they're supreme, and they are as far as this land and as far as the law of this land, but they better never forget there's a court higher than they are. Say amen. Now, I believe some of the decisions that's been made through the years, beloved, they forgot. This, in that court, it's this book. Amen. That's going to matter. Amen. It's this book, the Holy Bible, that's going to matter. So we see the importance of the grace of God in the home, the importance of the grace of God on the job. Then we see the importance of the grace of God in the battle. I want to ask y'all something. I want you to be honest with me. How many feels like the spiritual battle, the warfare, is intensifying as we get closer and closer and closer? I believe it is, Brother Junior. I believe, listen, I believe things that God's people used to find it easy to do, now, beloved, they're having to work at it. They're finding a battle. They're finding a resistance. They're finding the enemy, beloved. He understands more than God's people that his time is short. Amen. And he's trying to hinder us. You say, where'd you get that, Brother Rick? Look in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You remember when Paul said in the book of Corinthians there, when he was talking about his infirmity, the thorn in the flesh, he said his strength is made perfect in our weakness. God didn't tell us to be strong, period. That's all. He said in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. There is no strength, beloved. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength over in the book of Nehemiah. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe the enemy is trying to get us to quit standing. He wants us to roll over. And if you'll look around, I'm talking about pastor after pastor, church after church, evangelist after evangelist, changed their message. Amen. They've trimmed it back. They're going along to get along. And I'm telling you, beloved, it's a dangerous thing. It's the grace of God that we can stand. Amen. And the Bible said in verse number 10 to be strong. In verse number 11, he said to stand. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. I'm telling you, beloved, you ought to every time, stand, stand, withstand, stand. Listen, you know, I think Florida is one of the states, and Texas may be another one. I know Florida does. They have a stand your ground law. Well, I'll tell you something right now, I believe God's people need to stand their ground. I believe mamas and papas need to stand their ground. I believe moms and dads need to stand their ground. I believe pastors need to stand their ground. I believe Sunday school teachers need to stand their ground. I don't believe we ought to be wishy-washy. Amen. I believe we ought to stand right where the Word of God tells us to stand. Stand, therefore. He said, having your loins girt about with truth. You say, Pastor, where are you going to stand? We're going to stand in the book. Stand with the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need the grace of God in the home. We need the grace of God on the job. We need the grace of God in the battle. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. I tell you something that helps me sometimes when I just don't feel like going on. I tell you what helps me. The children. And let me say this to you. I don't mean to sound mean tonight, but not just my children. Not just my grandchildren. Say amen. Brother Ralph, I watched you this morning playing with Sawyer and playing with Landon. And Brother Ralph was losing. I mean, I could tell he was getting winded. Them boys was just getting started. And Brother Ralph was about done. D-O-N-E, done. Amen. Brother Ralph, it's going to hurt Sawyer if you go down. It's going to hurt Sawyer if the enemy wins in your life. Amen. It's going to hurt him. We don't understand, youngins, how that these youngins look up to us. Brother Larry, it's going to hurt Colson if Pastor goes down. Amen. I love that boy. Warner, I'm telling you, beloved, it's going to hurt him. And we don't need to go down. In the grace of God, we can stand against this wickedness in this generation that we live in. Paul is telling us the importance of the grace of God. Let me give you a couple things and I'm done quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, if you turn over to verse number 19, we see the importance of the grace of God in the home and on the job and in the battle, but we see the importance of the grace of God in our witness. Beloved, the Bible said, let your speech be always seasoned with grace. Oh, you can tell the truth and yet not be seasoned with grace and do more harm than you're doing good. How many understands what I just said? I mean, you can walk up and knock on somebody's door and tell the truth. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. That's the truth. But I tell you, that's not seasoned with grace. Amen. You can walk up to somebody with tattoos from head to toe and say, you look ignorant with all them marks all over your body. But I'm telling you, that speech is not seasoned with grace. You could say, beloved, something like, you ought to know better. And that speech is not seasoned with grace. I'm telling you something, beloved, tonight. If we've experienced the grace of God, we ought to be able to let our speech be seasoned with grace. My mom and dad, both of them, dad started smoking when he was 7 years old. 7 years old. Back then, they didn't have filters. And so you just they rolled their own. And I guess they was practicing for Colorado. Never mind. But anyway, y'all get that on the way home, maybe. Amen. But people would throw down that little bit that was left. And Daddy, as a kid, would go around and get them. I remember when Daddy mowed 2 acres of grass. Brother Ralph, 70 years old, and my daddy mowed 2 acres of grass with a push mower. I said, Daddy, you got 2 John Deere's sitting there. Why would you do something like that? He said, 2 reasons, son. He said, 1, it looks better. He said, 2, I figured I needed to exercise. Daddy went and sat down on the porch, and he thought he was leaving here. And they went to do that thing where you check your arteries, heart cath. They went to do that on my dad, and I said, my dad, Brother Rick, I said, he'll be stopped up every way from Sunday. He ain't done nothing but eat pork and gravy and biscuits all of his life and smoke since he was 7 years old. And you know he got in there and he didn't have any blockage? You know what he needed? A pacemaker. And in so doing, they discovered that he had an aneurysm in his abdominal aorta. But anyway, you say, Pastor, Why did you talk about the smoking? Brother Don talked about it a little bit in the revival. I met a lady just last week, another one just last week, and she's a young lady and she's smoking. And I said, honey, I'm not fussing at you. I said, can I tell you why I don't smoke? She said, sure. I said, I wasn't man enough. I said, I tried it when I was a teenager, and I said, it gagged me. I tried to dip, and it gagged me and turned me green. I tried to chew, it gagged me and turned me green. So I said, I'm no better than you. I said, I'm not fussing at you. But I said, I want you to know something. I watched my mommy and daddy both drown in their own fluid. I said, if you can, honey, quit. How many believes that speech was seasoned with grace? I wasn't looking at her and saying, you ignorant thing, what's the matter with you? No, 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 no. We need to have our speech seasoned with the grace of God in our witness. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He said, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Isn't it something, beloved? You can go out there and people that like to race can talk about the race. People like to fish can talk about fishing. People that like to hunt can talk about hunting. People that like to work can talk about work. But I'm going to tell you something right there. We ought to be a people that like to talk about Jesus. And not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I believe with all of my heart. We knocked on the door last week, and that fella had a D-28 Martin sitting in there. Brother Jason was standing there with me, and that boy can play a guitar. I don't know if you've ever, he can play anything with strings on it. Amen. But I'm telling you, we struck up a conversation. There's nothing wrong with talking about guitars, but guitars ain't the reason we knocked on that door. Say amen. Amen. And we come to find out that this man was a saved man. You say, Pastor, he go to the church of God and be a saved man? Yeah, you better believe it. You can go to the church of God and be a saved man. Baptists ain't going to be the only one in heaven. Amen. I heard a little joke one time where there's a bunch of Baptists and there's walking in heaven and somebody said, shh. He said, what do you mean? He said, they think they're the only ones up here. I'm going to tell you who's going to be in heaven. The born again, the redeemed, the blood washed. I'm talking to some people in this church, and I'll guarantee you, I'm not a Free Will Baptist, but I'll guarantee you, beloved, there's some people in the Free Will Baptist church that love the Lord. Amen. That's been saved by the grace of God. They're going to the same heaven. I remember years ago, Uncle Buddy, they called him, was talking to Brother Mays, and Uncle Buddy was a Nazarene. He believed you could live above sin. He said, Mays, you're sanctified and don't know it. Brother Mays looked at him and said, yeah, bless God, you're saved forever and don't know it too. They was able to communicate, amen, be on different pages and different places in the doctrine, but they had both been to Calvary. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I believe we ought to believe what we believe and preach what we believe and preach how we understand and see the Word of God. But I tell you what, if we think we're the only ones going, we're in a mess. Amen. Amen. Paul said here, for which I'm ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You can go to 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to turn there tonight. But the Bible said, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. And we ought to be representing our real home, that country over yonder. Amen. As we live down here. So we see the importance of grace of God in the home, on the job, in the battle, in our witness. We see the importance of the grace of God. But then let me give you this, and I'm finished tonight. We see the importance of the grace of God in the church. Look at verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Not only, beloved, do we need to get it in our little head that we're not the only church and we're not the only ones going to heaven, but we need to get it in our head too. Brother John, we ain't the only ones preaching the truth. They're everywhere, amen. God's got men scattered out all over the globe. I appreciate Brother Keith Hutchinson going to Africa and telling those children, amen, telling those young men over there that's been called to preach and starting churches, sharing the gospel with them, teaching them the Word of God that they can teach others, amen. We see the grace of God. It's needed in the church. Look at verse 22. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren. You see the church right there? Boy, I tell you, God wants his people to be at peace. I want to say this to you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. There's not too many pastors can be in one place. Going on 10 years now. Mother's Day will be 10 years. Not too many pastors that ain't had a blow up somewhere along the way. But I'm telling you, we need to thank God and shout the victory that we can be at peace among ourselves. Amen. I don't mean we always see eye to eye, but thank God there's somebody bigger in this thing than we are. That's our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus. People are watching us. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how can the brethren be at peace? There's only one way. Every one of us has got flesh. Every one of us has got our own ideas. There's only one way for the brethren to be at peace, Brother Gary, and that's by the grace of God. We say somebody in this thing bigger than we are. Amen. And I appreciate the church. He said, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Boy, we need to be sincere, don't we? In our love for one another and in our love for him. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying.